Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's topic is related to yesterday's Parsha, Parshas Noach. We're going to continue with these themes. Sometimes it'll be the coming week's Parsha, sometimes the previous week's Parsha, but the truth is, this connects Bereishis, Noach, and Lech Lecha, and anybody who's a Ben Noach, which is really anyone until the giving of the Torah, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the giving of the Torah, has the status of a Ben Noach, not of a Jew. A Jew is someone who's chayav in Taryag Mitzvos, and Ben Noach, we know, is chayav in seven Mitzvos. And typically, we are under the assumption that these seven mitzvahs were given to Noah, and that's why they're called the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noah. However, you'll see in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where we begin on, this is Daf Nun Vav Amid Beis, that it's not so. That in fact, at least six of these seven mitzvahs were given actually to Adam, according to the Gemara. Take a look at the first source. It's page 112, Nun Vav Amid Beis in Sanhedrin, and it begins with Vayitzav. It's bracketed there. So take a look here. This is a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, and this was a command, an instruction that was given to Adam Harishon. There was no Noach at this time. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Ha'adam Lemor Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochol Tochel. So that seems to be straightforward, yeah.
Maybe it's only applying for his generation, per se.
Okay, well, we assume that this goes on. Well, there's a lot to discuss. But anyway, at the very least, yeah.
Rabbi,
oh, go ahead, yeah, what you guys?
Doesn't it only apply to him, though? Because he was the only one around at the time. And isn't that like Hashem saying, you could eat all the...
That's what it sounds like. It looks like this is just given to Noah. They're given to Adam. So let's read. Okay, let's see what it says. So, seems to be very simple. Hashem gives Adam a command. You're permitted to eat all of the trees of the garden. And then he tells him, but you can't eat from the Eitz Hadas. So watch what the Gemara darshens. Vayitzav Elu Hadin. When it says that he was commanded, so that's actually a reference to Dinim, which is setting up a court system. One of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. What's the connection between the word Vayitzav and Dinim? V'cheinu Omer, Ki Yedativ, L'man Asher Yitzaves Banov, Ves Beso Acharav, etc. Who's this talking to about? This is Parshas Vayera, a reference to Avraham. And there it says, La'sos Staka Umishpat. So actually, the key point of that pasuk is not in the Gemara, it's the Megomer. The end of the pasuk says that Hashem told Avraham, Hashem says, you know, I commanded Avraham that he would teach his children to do tzedakah u'mishpat. So the end of that pasuk says mishpat. What's mishpat? Mishpat means that you have a court system, there's a system of justice. So what is the key word in that pasuk? Asher yitzaveh. He will command. What does it say in this pasuk? Vayitzav. So because in reference to Avraham, it says the word mishpat, that there will be a system of justice, and it has the word yitzaveh, and this pasuk has the word vayitzav, almost like a gzeirah shavah, so to speak, it must be that just like that's talking about mishpat in the case of Avraham, here also Adam in the word vayitzav is given dinim that there should be a system of justice as well. Okay, next, right, then that's the pasuk. Hashem, it says vayitzav Hashem. What's Hashem? So this is not so complicated. Zu Birkas Hashem. This refers to, obviously this is, right, this is Lashon Sagi Nohor. It's a reference, obviously it says Birkas Hashem, blessing Hashem, but it really is actually the reverse, right? One who curses Hashem is one of the Shevetos B'nei Noach and was given to Adam as well. That's found in the word at Hashem. So I have Vayitzav Dinim. Hashem, Zur Birkas Hashem, V'cheinu Omer, V'nokev, Shem Hashem, Mos Yumos. The one who, Nokev, who curses Hashem, literally penetrates. Shem Hashem, Mos Yumos. Okay. Elohim, Zu Avodas Kochavim. It says, Vayitzav, that's one mitzvah. Hashem, number two. Elohim, that's a reference to Avodah Zarah. And where do I see that? V'cheinu Omer, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim. So obviously in that pasuk is a reference to Hashem. But Hashem was already mentioned, so Elohim must refer to something else. So in certain contexts we say Elohim Acherim, other gods, foreign gods. That's a reference to Avodah Zarah. So far, in three words, we have three mitzvos b'nei Noach. Vayitzav is dinim, Hashem is Birkas Hashem, Elohim is Avodah Zarah, and then we move on. Al ha'adam, this was a command given to man. Oh, man has to be careful about man. So true, there weren't that many people around at that time, but there were going to be. What is it? What I learned from there? Zu shvichos damim. V'cheinu omer in yesterday's parsha. Shofech dam ha'adam v'adam damo yishofech. There is a prohibition to shed blood. And the reference to Adam is used in the context of shedding blood as well of shvichos damim. So I have, that's actually two words. So I have four mitzvahs b'nei Noach in five words. Then, this is the best one. Lemor, zu giler arayos. What does the word lemor mean? You think it just means saying? No. That's a reference to giler arayos. Where do we see that? The pasuk says, v'cheinu omer in Yirmiyo, lemor hein yishalach ish es ishto v'halacha me'ito v'aysel ish acher. This is a reference, obviously we're familiar, we use this metaphor quite often, the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people and our infidelity is a reference to Avodah Zarah. But since our relationship is like a marriage, our Avodah Zarah is often looked at as infidelity in marriage. So what happens? A person, Hashem is going to banish us out, he's going to divorce us, so to speak, and we're going to marry another woman. And that's a reference, of course, to Avodah Zarah. But since that pasuk begins with Lemor, so there's a connection to our Lemor, that's Gilui Arayos, this is Gilui Arayos. Yeah.
But is it fair for the Gemara to assume, because one word, it's a very...
Yes,
long.
So the answer is yes. The answer is a good question, and I think all of these things is also true. So this is one of those many examples where one has to say that we have an oral tradition that the mitzvos that were given, that we call B'nai Noach, actually were given to Adam as well. And there's a hint to them in the various words, and this is the way to remember. Onward. Then Mikol Eitz Hagan, you're permitted, this is actually maybe one of the better ones. Mikol Eitz Hagan, you're permitted to eat from all of the fruit, the trees in the garden. Well, you can only eat from the things that I asked you to eat from. You eat from something else, velo gezel. You're not permitted to eat from something that's stolen. So there is gezel. So that's one of the shevichos b'nei Noach, and it's learned from the fact. You can eat from what I told you to eat. Anything else you eat is considered gezel. The truth is, this is not a new concept. It's not a foreign concept to us. The Gemara says at the beginning of the sixth parak of Brachos that we have two psukim, Lashem ha'aretz m'lo'a. Everything belongs to Hashem. And then we have a pasuk, Hashamayim shamayim Hashem, v'ha'aretz nasan v'nei adam. So is the land Hashem, or is it Hashem, so is the land ours? What does the Gemara say? Kan kodem bracha, kan la'acha bracha. Before you make a bracha on a food, it belonged to Hashem. When you recite a bracha, now it's yours. Now you take possession of it. So that means anything in the world, really, we assume that I am misappropriating, it's called mi'ila, mem, ayin, yud, lamin, hey, I'm misappropriating from hektesh, from something that's sanctified, until I actually have permission to use it. So if Hashem doesn't give me permission to use it through this mitzvah, through a bracha, whatever it may be, so then it's considered gezel. Fine, so gezel's on that list. Then, achol tochel, this double language, you may surely eat, v'lo eiver menachai. You're not allowed to eat eiver menachai, taking from a live animal. Now, many claim that there are different drashos, that this last one, very difficult to say that Adam was given this mitzvah. After all, Adam was not permitted to eat from animals at all. So I don't need a mitzvah eiver menachai he's not allowed to eat meat anyway. According to many opinions, six mitzvos were given to Adam. The seventh, which now makes them all seven mitzvos b'nei Noach, was given to Noach, and that's the Aleph of Erev. We know that when we remember these things, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and the big three. Aleph is Eber ben Achai, Beis is Birkas Hashem, Gimel is Gezel, Dalet is Dinim, and the big three for which you have to give your life, Avon Zor, Shvichus Damim, and Gilui Arayos. So Eber ben Achai, the Aleph, doesn't make sense, it was given to Adam. That was the seventh one given to Noah, but only six were given to Adam. If you look at Tosus, though, look at the second Tosus, he's bothered by that question, and he says, no, that was also given to Adam. Take a look. He wasn't given basar to eat anyway. What's the shaila? He can't eat Eber ben Achai. Eber ben Achai, a limb from a live animal, he can't eat an animal at all. So what does Eber ben Achai have to do with Adam? So watch. He says, because hainu lahamis v'le'echol, what Adam was not allowed to do, interesting, according to Tosus, he wasn't allowed to kill an animal to eat it. Remember, there's no shechita then, but even just to, you know, to stab an animal, he was not permitted to do. Avol mesa me'e lehasharia. Actually, according to Tosfos, Adam was able to eat meat. He was able to eat meat of an animal that died. You had a carcass, the animal was old, it died. So a nevela, he was able to eat that nevela as long as it was not killed. And therefore, what does the Gemara come to tell me? So let's say he obviously wouldn't kill an animal, he's not allowed to eat it, but a limb of the animal fell off, he's sitting there on the ground. Maybe Adam should be able to eat that, just like he's able to eat an animal that died. So that limb is kind of dead, right? If, you know, the animal had gangrene or something and the limb fell off. So he's not allowed to eat that. That's what's coming to tell me. He's not allowed to eat that. Yeah. Good, so it doesn't. And that's why the Gemara has Sirus, Kilayim, and all the other options on the next page. There are many, many opinions. Is there an eighth? Which one do we take out to have, or we should always have seven? So we're not going through the whole sugya. It's not my goal today. My goal today is specifically to address an interesting question, which many of the poskim discuss, the Rishonim discuss, and that is whether a Ben Noach is chayiv in the mitzvah of tzedakah. So you would say, we're done, shear's over. Why? Because the answer is no. There's no mitzvah of tzedakah at all. Right? Went through all the options, at least according to this, there are seven. Tzedakah's not on that list, so there's nothing to discuss. So that is, that's what I want to address. And there's another piece of Gemara. Before we get to another comment, I want you to turn the page. So turn the page over. Okay, where it's bracketed, where it says Masiv Rav Hamnuna. So the Gemara here is actually questioning whether or not a woman has the obligation in Din. A woman, you also have a Ben Noah. What about Chava? Right? What about Chava? What about Sarah? What about Rivka? These are all Benos Noah. So the Gemara wants to know whether or not that obligation would apply. And the Gemara has Sukkim, to which seemed to point in the direction that women would not have that obligation. So the Gemara asks, Masiv Rav Hamnuna, the Isha lo mifkada. A woman is not obligated in Mishpat, in Dinim. That's not her obligation. After all, Vaksiv, ki yidativ, liman, asher yitzaveh begomer. Who remembers the source of Dinim to begin with? Well, it said the word Vayitzav in Parshas Bereishis. Vayitzav was a command given to Adam. We said, no, Vayitzav is not about Gan Eden, about the Eitzim. No. Vayitzav is about Mishpat. It's about Dinim. How do I know? Because the word Vayitzav, the Shoresh, I have the word Tziva in that pasuk. And I have L'ma'an Asher Yitzaveh Esbonav Beis Beiso Acharav Vishramu Derech Hashem La'asot Tzedakah U'Mishpat, a pasuk in Parashas Vayera, in the context of the king of Avram Davnu for Sodom. So there it says Yitzaveh, and it says Mishpat, that Avraham will ensure that his children are able to maintain justice. So therefore, if that says the word Yitzaveh and it uses the word Mishpat, and our pasuk says Vayitzav, so that's how I know that Vayitzav was given to Adam, and that was the mitzvah of Mishpat of Dinim. So the Gemara says, well, Avram was commanded to teach his entire family. So to say that women wouldn't be chayv in that, Avram, if Avram has, you know, children or grandchildren, any girls in that family, So there's an obligation for mishpat as well. So how could there be a hava, meaning that a woman would not be chayiv in mishpat, in dinim? So after all, v'haksiv, ki yidativ l'man asher yitzaveh v'gomeh. So watch this. Who mosiv lav, who mefarek lav? Rav Hamnuna raised the question, and he resolves the question. Banav l'din, beso l'tzdaka. So what does the pasuk say? It says, in the l'man asher yitzaveh espanav, his sons, the es beso acharav. What's beso typically? Beso, the chiper vado, uvaad beso. When it speaks about the Kohen Gadol in Parshas Acharemos, first Mishnah in Maseches Yuma teaches us that the Kohen Gadol has to be married. Beso zu ishto. So ishto means there's a reference to the women in the family. So actually, you're supposed to split it. What does the pasuk say at the end? Lasot staka umishpa. And it says, Laman yitzaves banav, des beso. So what is the Gemara doing? Oh, I know what's happening. Mishpat is referring to, that's the dinin, that's going on banav. That's going on the sons, that's going on the men. And staka, that's going on what? That's going on beso, that's going on the women. So it's split. So yes, there is a concept of tztaka for B'nai Noach. In that pasuk, you'll say, well, women, it sounds like women are chayv, you know, in dinim. So the answer is, according to the opinion that women are not chayv in dinim, after all, doesn't that pasuk say women are chayv in mishpat? No, mishpat's going on the sons. What's tztaka? That's going on the women. Now, I have to realize what this means. According to this, what we're saying is like this. Staka may be applicable to all B'nai Noach. Badinim, at least in that pasuk, what the pasuk is showing you is that although sons have mishpat, have dinim, and may indeed also have staka, but women only have what? Only have staka. But staka is universal. The men have tztaka and mishpat, but don't think the women have dinim, women have only tztaka. That's the way the Gemara at least resolves this issue. So you stop here for a second, you say, hold on a second. All of a sudden, I see the Gemara mentions something about tztaka. Now how are we supposed to understand what the tztaka means, assuming it's a reference to men and women, even just the women? Sounds like there is a concept of tztaka for B'nai Noach. Although it's not on the list, it sounds like it may be part of dinim, or we're not sure. So I want you to listen to the language of the Ran. Okay, listen carefully. The Ran says on this sugya, and he says like this. He says, "Hachi nami have le lemechshav tztaka." The Gemara should have listed as part of Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach tztaka as well. Daksiv, because the pasuk says, Vasos tztaka umishpat. And you can't deny it. If the whole source of mishpat, of dinim, is from that pasuk that says tztaka umishpat, so if mishpat is one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, then tztaka has to be on the list. So what's everyone going to ask? So why is it not on the list? There should be eight. So listen very carefully. El mishum ditztaka lo chashiv. Why is tztaka not on the list? Mishum dukum ase lo kachashiv. What does that mean? Kum ase lo kachashiv. The list of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach is not an exhaustive list. But there's something that we would assume that all of those Sheva Mitzvos have in common, and there may be other Mitzvos that are chayiv in as well, but because it doesn't have that common characteristic, it's not on the list. What makes tztaka different than all of the other things on that list? So let's think about it. You're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to steal. You're not allowed to curse Hashem's name. Go ahead.
Positive.
Very good. It's a positive commandment. Even dinim is really about ensuring that people don't do things wrong. That's what dinim is about. So you look at the whole list, they're all Os Ases. There may be many Ases that a Ben Noach is obligated to do. They're just not on the list. In fact, similar language is used by the Yad Ramah. Listen to this. The Yad Ramah says, Umistabrali, it seems to me, when it says, based on litztaka mamish kama, this refers to real tztaka. Vahai delo choshev la gabe hamitzos. Why is it not on the list? Mishum de mitzvah sasehi. It's a positive commandment. And there may be other, but you have to think about it. Are there other positive commandments that we would expect from a Ben Noach, but they're just not on the list? Because the list is about lotases. Remember, the list that we have is very severe. What does a Ben Noach get for stealing? Anyone know? Death. That's correct. Misa is the punishment for all Sheva Mitzvos Ben Noach. So why that is a good question. So the point is, we wouldn't give death to someone who's not getting stuck. So we have to be careful what we're going to put on the list and what we're not going to put on the list. There's another mitzvah, which the Gemara speaks about later on, where one could also understand why this is not on the list. The Gemara says this explicitly later on in the parak. And that is, there's something that a Ben Noach is not allowed to do, but we would call this, at least partially, a mitzvah saseh. There may be a low taseh component to it as well, certainly, but we would call it certainly partially mitzvah saseh. Anyone know what a Ben Noach is not? It's very strange. A Ben Noach is not allowed to do this. Okay, so the answer is, he's not allowed to observe Shabbos. A Ben Noach is not allowed to observe Shabbos. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, right, from yesterday's parasha as well. It says, V'kor after the Mabul. What does it say? It goes through all the seasons. And it tells you the simple shot is the summer and the winter and the fall and this and the spring, right? And it says at the end, Lo Yishposel, they'll never stop. I mean, we'll never have a time like the time of the Mabul where the seasons just seem to come to a halt. But the Gemara Darshan, what's Lo Yishposel? Lo Yishposel, they're not allowed to observe Shabbos. So there is logic behind that. It could very well be that if everybody rested on Shabbos, so then we would have, we'd run into a lot of problems, right? Then the whole world would stop to function. So maybe the Jewish people, with some of their responsibilities, they also have that mitzvah of observing Shabbos. They have the mitzvah of Shabbos, and other people should not be observing Shabbos. So it happens to be, there's a question whether or not that mitzvah of observing Shabbos is, so, when we speak about non-Jews, what does that mean? What if he wants to rest on a Monday, or a Sunday, or a Friday? What about that? So the Yad Ramah actually discusses that. Some things which are quite fascinating, he makes some points here. He says, listen to this, Kigon, and there's a lot of parentheses and brackets here. He says, Kagon Elu HaNotzrim, who are the Notzrim? Are the Christians? Sheshovsim V'yom Rishon, who rest on Sunday. In parentheses he has, Kagon Elu HaArvim, Sheshovsim V'yom Vav, who rest on Friday. All right, that's their day. So, interesting, he says, these are certain questions. Why would that be included or not included? Is that considered a Goyisha Shabbos, or is it only that he can't rest on the seventh day, which is our day? So there's some discussion about that. But nonetheless, you could ask the question, why is that not on the list? If that's true, there should be eight. So the answer may be exactly what we're saying. That Shabbos is not just about, Shabbos is about a mitzvah saseh, to make today into a holy day, a special day. That's a mitzvah saseh to some extent. And that's why the concept of Shabbos being mitzvah saseh, it absolutely applies to them. They have to be, the Gemara takes that very seriously. Even there's an issue with Misa, so that may put Shabbos and Stuck in a different context. But nonetheless, it's not on the list because it's a mitzvah saseh. Okay, yeah.
Why are non-Jews like Chayav Misa for, let's say, stealing, but we...
So right, so the Gemara, so there's discussion from Sukkim about that, and I would say that this is probably not the time to discuss why that is, and we want to try to be PC about these things. Even the Shabbos thing is a good question. But yes, there's something that we certainly can talk about that. And I also think you have to, there are many questions that fall into that category. You have questions about, let's say, we have questions about ribbis, about charging interest, right? So we have, we're permitted to charge interest from a non-Jew. In fact, that may be considered a mitzvah to do so. And when it comes to paying for damages, so the concept of chatzi nezek, which we have the first three times, does not apply to non-Jews. So the general answer is, the general answer may be, and this may not solve the Gezel, some of these problems completely, is that we are, because we live in a culture with non-Jews, it makes more sense for us within our own world with Jews. We obviously have our mitzvahs. We go to Beis Din together, and we have whatever halachos we have. But when we live with the non-Jews, so it makes more sense that we should treat them the same way they would treat us. So in cases where they would put someone to death, so we would do the same. And in the case where they would say, no, you pay full damages. In the case where they're charging interest, so that's what everybody does. So why shouldn't we do the same? So it may not answer some of these things, but you have to recognize that that answers several of the cases. Interesting question when it comes to ribbis. So in fact, there's a Tosfos Bava Metzia on Daf Ayin Amud Beis that asked the question regarding the issue of ribbis to begin with. There is, we assume that we're permitted to charge interest from non-Jews. There's no issue with that. And in fact, if you take a look, hold on one second, if you go back to the first page for a moment, the Gemara said, Vayitzav, look at the word Vayitzav Elu Hadinim. Vayitzav, see this, there's a circle by the word Vayitzav. That's the Gilyon Hashas. So if you look all the way in the bottom corner, you see where I'm pointing right over here? All the way in the bottom where my thumb is. That's the Gilyon Hashas. He says, Ayein Bava Metzia Ayin Amud Beis in Tosfos. So Tosfos there talks about the issue of ribbis, whether that is something that applies to non-Jews or to Jews, etc. And there's some discussion about a non-Jew, and I saw some of the sources. I'm not sure if this is a Gemara later in Sanhedrin or a Medrash or what have you. But if you look in Parshas Beshalach, the beginning of Parshas Beshalach in the Yerushalmi, if you look in what's called the Yonasan Ben Uziel, okay, so next to that you have the top with the commentary of Yerushalmi, in the Makros Kedos you'll see it. It there says that when Paro, we left Mitzrayim, so you may know that many of Bnei Ephraim died. And it says that Yecheskel, when Yecheskel, as we read this on, I think it's Chol HaMoed Pesach, Yecheskel, we have the story of the dry bones. And Yecheskel revives the dry bones in the Bikah, in Dura. So there it says that those are the people who are going to be resurrected at the time of Yecheskel. Those people who died when we left Mitzrayim. And Tosfos says, but what about that guy, that Ben Noach, who died when he charged interest? After all, shouldn't he also come back to life? He obviously didn't do anything wrong, because a Ben Noach is allowed to be involved in interest. So Tosfos has different answers to that question. Now, there's a discussion about that. Whether or not we would say no, maybe a non-Jew, maybe there's an issue of ribbis for a non-Jew because it's included in Gezel. Now, interestingly, Tosfos says very clear from the Gemara Bava Metzia in the fifth parak that we do not derive the law of ribbis from Gezel. We do not. But it could be that for a non-Jew, the category of Gezel is a broader category to come to include other things like like fraud, like and ribbis and things like that. Yeah.
Maybe you could say that even a non-Jew, depending on how much interest they charge,
okay,
would be considered stealing.
Would be to some extent. That's quite possible. And onah, same thing. Fraud, we have certain rules, what's considered onah, more than a sixth or what have you. Maybe that, right? There'll be certain rules there as well. Okay. So what we have so far is, if I asked you, is a ben Noah chayiv in the mitzvah tzedakah? So you would say, it seems to be true. So many Rishonim disagree. And I'm going to recite the conclusion of a bracha that you recite daily, and you tell me what that means. Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech Ohev, Tzedakah, U'Mishpat. Those are the two concepts, areas of law, that are written in the Pasuk in Avram, in Parshas Vayera. La'asos Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Ki dativ, he'll command his children, la'asos Tzedakah. So what do those words mean in that context? What does that mean?
God loves righteousness and judgment.
Right. He loves righteousness and judgment. In fact, some claim that that means that God loves when we do righteousness and judgment. So that's why there's a question. Some of the Achronim discuss. We don't know that according to the Sfaradim, that's something that you would repeat. If you said that during Asher Simei Tshuva, you would repeat. Because Hashem during that time is not Tzedaka u'mishpat, it's just mishpat. His amalach ha-mishpat. So those who claim that there's nothing wrong with saying that during Asher Simei Tshuva, which is the Minhag Ashkenaz, would claim, according to some, that you misunderstand what that phrase means. Melech ohev tzedaka u'mishpat means Hashem loves when we do tzedaka u'mishpat. So there's no contradiction. It's not a description of Hashem necessarily, his characteristics, his attributes. It's something that he loves about us. So are we not supposed to be engaged with righteousness and justice during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva? Of course we should. So that it's no issue with mentioning that if it's not a reference to Hashem's characteristics, Hashem's qualities. Nonetheless, if you take a look at the next page, I'm going to show you something which many of you showed him claim would answer our question and tell us definitively that a ben Noach is not chayav in the mitzvah of tzedakah. Says the Gemara here, Lema Katanai. What's the Gemara doing? So the Gemara here, Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Vav, is speaking about the concept of pshara. Pshara, also known as bitsua, means, and we didn't do this, I apologize guys in my shiur, I don't think we touched upon this last year, we got close. Bitsua, or pshara, means compromise, or making a settlement. And generally speaking today, when you sit on a beis din, we try actually to avoid mishpat, because what happens is, when you're looking for what the Gemara calls Yikov HaDin HaSahara, let's get to the emes, let's get to the truth. Unfortunately, without the proper evidence, we may never get to the truth. And we're always afraid that when I decide, based on what I know, that this person should pay, or the court of three, let's say, in Adini Amados, makes that decision, there's a chance that we're wrong. And we'd rather people come to court and ready to be mochel, to forgive, to forego a certain extent, and come with some settlement, some compromise. This way, everyone walks out semi-happy. And this way, we also could say we're not assuming or claiming this is the emes, but this is the best way for us to walk out, knowing that we didn't take away money from someone we should not have. And the Gemara here is a machlokas whether or not Pshara, a settlement, needs three judges, just like Dinei Mamonos. You could argue both ways. On the one hand, well, this is a case, it's a financial matter. And the same way, if we were coming to the truth, we need three people. So too, when we're coming to a compromise. On the other hand, are we voting 2-1? Are we really trying to get to the truth? Are we following the rove here? This is about coming to terms together to come to some settlement. So here the Gemara says, Lema Ketanai. Bitzua b'shlosha divir Rabbi Meir v'chachamim omrim pshara b'yachid. So the Gemara assumes that I can prove that a din, a regular case of financial matters, needs three because it's compared to a case of pshara. Whatever you hold pshara needs, whatever you know need compromise, whatever number of judges compromise needs, so that's what also, what judgment needs. So here, Rabbi Meir says, Bitsua Pshara needs three judges. V'achachamim Pshara B'yachid. And Savrua, the assumption of the Gemara is, L'chulei Alma Makshinim Pshara L'din. We make a comparison between what? Shara Endin, Maila Bahakam Mifligi, let us suggest this is the Machlokes, the Mar Savar Din Bishlosha, Umar Savar Din Mishnayim, or two or one. So whatever you need for Pshara is what you need for Din. If you need three for Pshara, you need three for Din. If you need, you know, if one is enough or two enough for Pshara, one or two would be enough for Din. So the Gemara says, not so fast. It's possible that there is no comparison of Pshara and Din. Pshara is compromise. Din is something else. Now, why is that important to us? Why is it important to us whether or not we're willing to compare Pshara to Din with respect to the number of judges? So turn over the page. Turn over the page. Look what the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karacha Omer. Mitzvah, this is our Vavamir base. Mitzvah Liptzoa. It's actually a mitzvah to do Pshara. Shenemar, Emes Umishpat Shalom Shiftu B'Sha'arecha. I want you to have Emes and Shalom. Now, I ask you, is it possible to always have truth and peace? Two people are arguing. We're going to get to the truth of the matter, and everyone's going to be happy. Not at all. Ask the Gemara. Balo v'makom sheish mishpat ein shalom. V'makom sheish shalom ein mishpat. They don't go hand in hand. Ela ezehu mishpat sheyesh bo shalom. Heve omer zebitzua. I know I can find you a mishpat that has shalom in it. What's that? That's compromise. So you see from here, that I can have peace and din. Now, if I'm calling it mishpat, how many judges would I need, logically? If I'm calling it din, you need three. If it's a different animal completely, so maybe you only need one. But if I'm calling it mishpat nonetheless, it's a mishpat that has shalom in it, then you would need three. And then the Gemara says, v'chein b'david ho'omer, ayhi David, osem mishpat utztaka. David would do mishpat and staka. I understand. If you're being righteous or you're being a person of charity, you're going out of your way, so that's not mishpat. Right? If I'm doing staka, that's not mishpat. Mishpat means this is the way it is. Staka means, ooh, I'm going out of my way for you. So how could David do mishpat and staka at the same time? Ela ezu mishpat yeshbot staka. Listen to that question. What is justice that has within it righteousness? Heve omer, zebitzua. That must refer to compromise. So what do many of you showing him say? I know what the Gemara means. I know when the Gemara says, remember how we started. Vayitzav is a reference to Mishpat. Ask the Gemara, are women chayav in what? In Dinim at all, if shouldn't they be, the Pasuk says that Avraham will command Vayitzav Yitzaveh, his children, and Beisal Acharav, Lasos, Staka Umishpat, to do righteousness, charity, give Staka and Mishpat. It's black on white that what they're chayiv and Staka. The Gemara says, no, it could be that Mishpat and Staka applies to the men, and the women have Staka only and not Mishpat. Okay, what does staka mean in that pasuk? So the Ram said, and the Yad Ramah said, I'll tell you what it means. It means there's a mitzvah of charity. And B'nai Noach, the men and the women, have a mitzvah to give charity. What does staka mean in this context? What's it used to describe? It's used to describe a form of judgment known as compromise, known as pshara, known as bitzua. What did David HaMelech do? He did staka and mishpat. How do you do staka and mishpat together? So what's the answer? How do you have a judgment that has staka in it? Making a compromise. Making a compromise in din, making a settlement, is not taking $2 out of your wallet and giving it to someone as charity. The word staka in that context does not mean what we call staka. And that's, in fact, what the Yad Ramah quotes, although he disagrees with it. He says as follows. Is the army, there are those that say, the high tztaka psharahi. The tztaka that the Gemara speaks of here in Sanhedrin is actually pshara. Kidam rinon, as we say on Vavim and Beis, vayihi David oset tztaka umishpat. David would do tztaka. What did tztaka mean there? Not charity, it meant compromise. So the Gemara uses the phrase tztaka Why is that included in dinim? Because that's a form of judgment. You come to judgment. How many judges do I need? According to some, I need three. Because I compare what? I compare pshara to din. But that's part of dinim. That's not, oh, there's a poor person, I have to reach out. However, Jonas and Sachs, in this sefer of which we have, we used to have like hundreds of them because no one took them when Lander College came to give us them. So, and there are this is just on Bereshis and Noach. So in here, he quotes a very famous concept of Rav Asher Weiss. He quotes him quite often. To explain why, even though the tzedakah here may refer to pshara, nonetheless, the ben Noach is chayv in tzedakah. How do I know? So Rav Asher Weiss's famous concept is what's called the Ratzon HaTorah. There are times where there may be something that we expect you to do, and the Torah expects you to do, and it's not written black on white that you need to do. But it's obvious that that's the Ratzon HaTorah. The Ratzon HaTorah is, if people try to find places where there's a mitzvah of chinuch, of teaching your children. Maybe it's that pasuk of Avraham himself. He will command his children. Maybe that's the pasuk. Maybe chinuch's only derabbanan. Or maybe the answer is, what are you, crazy? I need the Torah to tell me I have to train my kids to be B'nai Torah. What do we expect them to do when they turn 13 if I don't train them? That's the Ratzon HaTorah. That's what the Torah wants me to do. Whether you hold Tsar Balei Chaim is Doraisa or Derabanan, is that not the Ratzon HaTorah? That an animal is suffering, you should help unload it? Of course you should. So there are times where we should be able to use our own intuition. It reminds me of the Avarbanel. There's an Avarbanel, which I like in Parsha Shemini. The Avarbanel says when you have kosher animals, the Torah has a whole list of all the animals that you're not permitted to eat that are not kosher. So hold on one second. Why wouldn't the Torah list like Dunkin' Donuts, you know, which is clearly unhealthy. Oh, sorry, right here. And, you know, and other things like that, and foods that are, you know, poisonous and certain things. You know what he says? He says, I don't need the Torah to tell me that. You have the Chachmei Hadoros. You have scientists and doctors and biologists. You have people who are professionals who every generation can tell you what's safe and what's not safe. I don't need the Torah to tell you that. There are foods that are spiritually unsafe that a physician, that a scientist may not be able to tell you are unhealthy. So I'm telling you they're unhealthy. It's unhealthy because it's spiritually unhealthy. It's not good for your soul. But other things you should know on your own. Same thing here. There's the Ratzon HaTorah. You should know that that's ethical, that's moral, and that's not. Says with Yonah Shon Sachs, that's the answer to the question. Is it Ben Noach Chayv in Tzedakah? So it could be that from that Gemara, the fact that it said Tzedakah, he's not Chayv in Tzedakah. That word Tzedakah means compromise. But the fact that someone is in need, and they're coming over to a non-Jew, another human being is hungry, and he shouldn't feel there's a command from up high, from the creator of the world, in addition to the seven mitzvot that he has. He doesn't recognize that I should reach out and help. That's the Ratzon HaTorah. Now, it could be that I should know not to kill someone either. There, maybe I need the Torah to say, Yechayiv Misa. Here, there's no Chayiv Misa if you don't do so. But the fact that this is the right thing, and this is something we should expect of you, so even if you hold that tzedakah there means pshara, means mitzvah, means compromise, nonetheless, the concept of tzedakah should be something that even a Ben Noach should recognize is his obligation. Okay? We'll stop here. Have a good day, everyone.